Whitney Pittman on the Red River Farm Network. Joining us here today is Farm Management Analyst and Senior Vice President at MinStar Bank, Kent Tesey. Some deadlines coming up here for crop insurance. There's a lot to consider, kind of prices right now too, taking that into consideration. What are some of the big things that you're focused on and that producers should be keeping an eye on right now?
Well, March 15th is the deadline for to purchase crop insurance. And, you know, I think sometimes we kind of get wound into, well, let's do what we did last year. And, of course, every year is different. And as I look at crop insurance, I think the two big things that have changed, at least for corn and soybeans, is that our input costs and cost of production have increased considerably. And that means if we're going to try to reduce our risk through crop insurance, we need to make sure we get as close to adequate coverage to cover those costs as possible. The other good news is we continue to have very strong spring base prices for crop insurance, which sets our guarantees. As of Friday, we were at $5.96 for corn and $13.72 for soybeans. And that $5.96 is actually almost the same as last year. It was $5.90. The $13.72 is slightly lower than $14.33 a year ago. So I guess what I encourage folks, farmers, to do out there is make sure you're comparing apples to apples and you're comparing crop insurance products. Work with a good crop insurance agent to understand what the coverage entails. And then when it comes to looking at the financial risk, I think you got to sit down and analyze if we have reduced crop yields. There's a lot of drought potential, even though we're getting a lot of snow, but there's still drought potential out there, or other weather problems, or if we get lower prices down the line, how much risk am I willing to stand? So right now you can take a good look at the 80 or 85% coverage levels. And with 85% coverage on corn with those prices, for most farmers in the listening area here, they can probably, depending on your APH yield, guarantee $750 to as high as $1,000 an acre. And with soybeans, probably $500 to $750 an acre. So you can take a lot of risk out by using just a standard federal crop insurance policy.
All right. And you also talked about some of the specifics there with different programs and things like that. Talk us through some of those and those different calculations and things like that.
Well, one thing that, you know, sometimes I think crop insurance agents and maybe farmers get tempted to look at what's called an RPE policy, which is a revenue protection with harvest price exclusion, especially when we have higher prices. And most farmers use revenue protection because that protects against yield and potential drop in prices. It's based off your APH yield and you set a guarantee dollar amount per acre. Well, what RPE does, it sets that beginning dollar amount the same as a standard RP policy. But what the harvest price exclusion means is if the harvest price goes up, your guarantee doesn't go up. So if you have a standard RP policy, let's say today we're at $5.96 and the price of corn in the fall price goes up to $7.50, your guarantee increases by your APH yield times the $7.50. If you're on an RPE, you would stay at the $5.96. So that means potentially you could have a pretty big yield drop based off that guarantee, because then you base the actual bushels on the final harvest price times the $7.50 and not get a payment. So be careful on those kind of policies. The other thing is, you know, a lot of farmers, I think, automatically use enterprise units, which is all of your acres of a crop in a given county. And that certainly works good if your land is very similar and it's probably good price protection. However, if you farm a lot of different farms that are spread out with different risks, maybe worth, even if you haven't used them in the past, to look at optional units. Sometimes it's an extra cost, but it can really enhance your coverage. And especially if we get drought, or a lot of times hailstorms, windstorms can impact some farms and not others. So that's another one I think that's very important to look at.
And there's some supplemental options out there as well. And what are those like? Right. What are your thoughts there?
Well, there's an insurance policy called the supplemental crop option that's been around for a few years, and it hasn't got a lot of attention. What SCO insurance is you can only use it ties in with the farm program. So farm program sign up is also at FSA offices by March 15th. Well, if a farmer chooses the PLC program, which many do for wheat and some do for corn, they can use the SCO option. And for farmers that are already taking 85% coverage, there's not a lot of advantage because you can only go up to 86% with SCO. But if you're only taking 75 or 80% coverage, you can buy SCO insurance up to 86%. So, for example, on corn, if you're taking 80% coverage, you can now buy SCO coverage up to 86%. Now, SCO coverage is very similar to our county because you use county yields, not your farm APH. But the big difference is you use those crop insurance prices of $5.96 for corn and $13.72 for soybeans. And it's based off of the production during the year so that you get the payments a lot quicker than our county because you use the harvest price in the fall. So, again, it doesn't fit everybody, but it's certainly if you're only taking 80% coverage, the odds of payments for for all crops, really, corn, soybeans, wheat, for our county for 2023 is pretty low. So you're not taking a big risk of losing payments by going PLC, and you're really probably getting the same kind of coverage with the SCO coverage up to that 86%, which would be similar to farm our county coverage, and on that top 6 or 11% if you're at 80 or 75%. Now, beyond that, there's also what's called ECO, enhanced coverage option. That's an additional buy-up option where you can, again, based on county yields and the crop insurance prices, where you can go from 86% up to either 90 or 95%. So you could use SCO and then add on the ECO. Now, the one difference is you don't have to use SCO to use ECO. If you're at 85% RP coverage, you could do the ECO on top of that with county level coverage. SCO is subsidized by the government at about 65% and ECO about 50%. So that keeps those premium levels down there. So something to look at with your crop insurance. Of course, private companies also have buy-up options to 90 or 95% using your farm APH yield. But again, those premiums are not subsidized, so they may tend to be a little higher. And then, of course, you got the add-on options of hail insurance or wind insurance, which have become quite popular in many areas, especially those areas more susceptible to hail or wind damage. Best thing is to kind of look at the various products, what the risk is, kind of the what-ifs on different scenarios with your crop insurance agent, and then decide what your desired level of risk protection is and try to get the most bang for your buck for the investment you make in premium costs. You got to decide how much premium you're willing to put out there.
All right. And it's a lot of information to consider and put into practice. Where are some resources that people can utilize to help make those decisions?
Well, I always say the best resource is a good crop insurance agent, not one that just wants to sell you policies, but one that's willing to sit down with you, go through the different scenarios, look at costs versus benefits of different policies. I do have a pretty good information sheet with a bunch of tables on it called the 2023 crop insurance decisions. If anybody wants to shoot me an email at kent.tc@minstarbank.com, be glad to send that to them at no cost. And then some good websites. The USDA Risk Management Agency website has a lot of basic information on crop insurance. A couple of the best ones I've found with some good spreadsheets to kind of look at different crop insurance products and analyze them is the University of Illinois Farm Doc website or Kansas State University's Ag Manager website. Both very good websites to do some analysis.
All right. Anything else that we should touch on here before we let you go?
I think we covered it pretty good.
All right. That is Kent Tesey joining us here on the Red River Farm Network. I'm Whitney Pittman.